Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR. And more than money, your favorite topic, my friend, is tax.
Oh.
Taxes.
Oh, you mean when it comes to the financial world?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And not overpaying. And then making sure you're filing properly, because if you don't, there can be some problems.
There were many cases in the last, call it 10 years, where taxpayers have made some errors. Maybe in some cases they've omitted or forgot stuff, and then CRA comes back and says you've made a mistake and they have to start making payments or interest and penalties. But this one caught our attention.
Yeah.
This is something that many listeners can learn from on what went wrong, and really at the end of the day, who's responsible?
Yes. That's the key lesson here.
Right? So let's figure out this situation, this we'll call it a case, and understand what came out of it from the courts.
Yep.
We've got Jamie Golombek, Managing Director, Tax and Estate Planning at CIBC Private Wealth Management. Jamie, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, let's start off with the case. Let's kind of give people some background before we go right into the details of this case. This case involves a tax document called a T5008. Now, that gets some people excited when they hear those kind of numbers and letters getting put together. Most Canadians have no idea what the heck that is. Give us some background on what T5008 is.
Yeah, so this slip's been around for decades. It's not well known. The T5008 slip is essentially a form that reports all the dispositions of securities that you had during the year. So, for example, if you sold units of a mutual fund or if you sold shares, and this, of course, this applies only to a non-registered account in which there could be a tax bill when, on the sale of property, then a copy of this form is sent to you as the individual who needs to report it on their tax return, and an electronic copy is also filed with the CRA. So in other words, just like we get T4 slips for employment income or T5 slips for investment income or T3 slips from mutual funds, we also get a T5008 slip that shows all the securities that we disposed of in a particular year, and then we have an obligation to report those on our tax return. CRA is checking, because they are getting a digital electronic copy, and they can eventually match it up in a matching process and see if you've fully reported all your dispositions and, of course, any capital gains arising from those.
So let's go into the case. What was the story when it came out to this taxpayer who ended up owing $4.1 million in taxes?
Well, it is one of the strangest cases I've ever read, because this is actually not a tax case. It is not through the Tax Court of Canada. This was a civil case. It was an Ontario civil case where the taxpayer sued his broker, which case was Tito Waterhouse. And what happened was, and again, very, very unusual case. I've never seen a case like this in my entire tax career, is he had a client that was basically a client of the discount brokerage. So discount brokerage means no advice, right? So you do everything on your own. He was doing some high volume trading back in 2009. And at the end of the year, TD issued a number of T5008 slips reporting all of his dispositions. Now, back in 2009, it was common practice. In fact, it wasn't until even a year or two ago that on the T5008, all they reported was the dispositions and the gross proceeds that a taxpayer received. So for years, most of the financial services industry left the adjusted cost base or the book cost blank. Simply because they weren't sure what it really was, if the securities were transferred from another account, it was uncertain. So, you know, for years, the industry practice was to leave it as zero, and that was very, very common. So what happened was, of course, is the T5008s were filed electronically, and he had massive losses. Like, he didn't do well from his online trading. So effectively, what happened was he decided, in conjunction with some advice he got, which I think was misguided, he didn't declare anything on his return. Because basically he said, I've got losses, I can't use them anyway because capital losses can only be used against capital gains. I'm simply not going to report them. He didn't report them. CRA comes back and audits them, and they take the proceeds because they don't have the cost, and they assess his income at $5.2 million and then assess his taxes and interest and penalties. The total was $4.1 million. The reality was, though, that he actually had only losses, and his employment income was just under $10,000. So, of course, what happened, eventually he had to, settle with the CRA, and he got it all straightened out. He showed that, in fact, he did have ACB, cost based on those shares, and they dismissed all the tax. In the meantime, of course, he lost his job, he had enormous stress, and it was a big problem. So he tried to sue the brokerage for saying, you didn't correctly report the amounts. Now, one thing we should add is that even in those days, they always issued a separate statement to the client with all the dispositions. They called it the T5008 report, and they issued it to the client, which actually did fill in all the book values, and that could be used to report it. So at the end of the day, of course, he lost the case. No surprise, surprise. Today, depending on who you use, it's pretty common that most brokerage firms, I think including CIBC, does try to report the book value when it's known on the T5008, so that hopefully this won't be an issue. But it's still important to remember, and this is the message that I tell people about the case, which is, again, very unusual, that they must report all their capital gains every single year. And in fact, even a capital loss you should report so that you can, of course, claim it in a future year.
At the end of the day, did the courts not say the responsibility of proving the cost base and the disposition still lies in the hands of the client, not the financial institution, in this case, TD?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So at the end of the day, in Canada, of course, as we've talked about many times on the show, the Canadian system is one of honesty and self-reporting. We have a self-assessment system. If you disposed of something during the year, you have an obligation to file a tax return and report the gain or loss on that, even if it's a loss. So that's the requirement. Disposal of capital property requires the filing of a return. It is a self-assessment system. The T5008 just acts as a background check. I mean, same thing. If you claim that you didn't get your T4 from your employer, it doesn't mean you don't file a return and don't declare the income. You still have an obligation. You earn the income. You receive the income. You've got to report it, even if you never received the slip. So very, very important lesson from the case.
Now, in this case, the individual did not file an income tax return on these losses and had to go through a whole bunch of work. That was given on advice by his accountant, I believe, according to the case.
That's correct. That's right. So I think that was poor advice.
And so when it comes to working with an accountant, what kind of information should you provide? Because I find in my experience, Dave, you can jump in here, that many of our clients' accountants will simply just take the information, input it as a for filing purposes, and that's it. There's no checks to make sure everything is accurate.
Right. Yeah, any logic test against what is this right? Are we missing something?
Correct.
Right.
And so at what point does the accountant need to speak with the client? And at what point does the client need to either speak to the brokerage or the accountant to say, let's double check everything to make sure these numbers are right?
Well, I think the client has the ultimate responsibility to check their return. There have been other cases we've talked about over the years where clients, you know, hire an accountant, the return is complicated. They just sign on the last page and they send it in. And, they claim, I didn't know what I was signing. I was told to sign here. That doesn't fly. So at the end of the day, you really have to be responsible for what's in your return. I tell everyone that they should know where every number is coming from. So if you see a number on page one, page two, page three, you got to know where it's coming from. Does it make sense? Is it reasonable? At the end of the day, this is the taxpayer's responsibility. Hopefully the accountant is doing a good job, but the ultimate responsibility is of the taxpayer.
We have to leave it there, Jamie. Thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Been joined by Jamie Golenbeck, Managing Director, Tax and Estate Planning, CIBC Wealth Management. Always good information. Taxes can be very complicated, right? And so on the one hand, most people aren't tax accountants, but you have to be to some degree, right? Or you have to be curious enough to, as Jamie said, understand what's on each of those lines. Because ultimately, tax is going to be one of the biggest single line items that you're going to have to deal with in retirement. That can impact retirement lifestyle.
It will erode your money over your retirement.
Right.
And so not only understanding where the numbers are, but knowing how to minimize tax and the strategies behind that, we're going to discuss that at our webinar on Tuesday, August 25th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
What's the most important part of retirement planning? We'll talk about that after the break. You're on 770 CHQR in More Than Money.